Hello, and thank you so much for joining us today. This is Ellen Kamai, the natural nurse at naturalnurse.com. And we're here always on Progressive Radio Network every Tuesday, 10 to 11 a.m., with the natural nurse and Dr. Z. Today, we have as our guest another host who's here right on Progressive Radio Network, and that is Karen Hartglass. Karen was born and raised in New York and received her Bachelor and Master's of Science degrees in Chemical Engineering from Bucknell University and worked in the semiconductor industry for 20 years. With a passion for helping people understand the effects of food choices on health and the environment, she ran the nonprofit EarthSave International as executive director for over 8 years. Later, she developed ovarian cancer and is now an ovarian cancer survivor. Karen combines science with practical knowledge from real-life experiences, lecturing around the world about the powerful healing benefits of a plant-based diet, juicing, and meditation. Karen is the host of 2 weekly internet radio shows, including one right here on Progressive Radio Network. Thank you so much for joining us today, Karen.
Hi, Ellen. How are you today?
Oh, good. I hear you coming through loud and clear. Well, you do have an interesting life story and an interesting life path.
Oh, thank you. I think all of our lives are interesting, but there's nothing really predictable about what I did, what I've been doing.
Well, what led you as a younger person and a woman into chemical engineering? Because I would say most of your cohorts there were probably male.
Right. Well, my dad was a mechanical engineer, so that's where I got the idea of engineering, even though when I entered college, I had no idea what an engineer did. And I can't say that I still know an engineer student.
Well, I guess you have so many different jobs.
And I was good in math and science, and I also was interested in the arts. But I was thinking to myself, I thought, as a woman, I want to be able to support myself. And I had the impression at that time that as an engineer, I would have a steady job. That would be a career where I would always be able to support myself. The economy is very different today, but in that time period, it was pretty true. And I didn't know what chemical engineering was. I just enrolled and I enjoyed the program and I got a job.
Okay, so it actually did work out according to your plan.
Right.
Now, how did the ovarian cancer become part of your life? Like, when did that happen?
Yeah, well, that's a really good question, and I have my own personal theories.
Well, we'd like to hear them if you want to share them.
Which I didn't quite figure out until after I had been diagnosed and went through treatment and had time to ponder it all. But I have been a vegetarian since about 15, and then I became vegan at 13, and I was always focusing on healthy foods. And the knee-jerk reaction for many people would be, you were on such a healthy path. Why did you get ovarian cancer? And what I realized was when I was a teenager and I first started menstruating, I had problems right then. And people weren't, girls, me, I wasn't comfortable about talking about it. I didn't even know who to talk to. I had very heavy periods. I didn't have a lot of uncomfortable symptoms, but I had a lot of volume. And when I started seeing gynecologists, you know, I'd tell them I had a heavy period, and they just didn't react. Maybe they didn't believe me. I don't really know, but it was just something that I learned to live with. And when I was a teenager, I used sometimes 3 super tampons at a time. And maybe not everybody is familiar with what that means, but I used a lot of tampons, and I came to learn later that in bleaching those products, there's a lot of dioxin remaining in the tampon, and I used much more than probably the accepted dose, if there is even an accepted dose of dioxin to put in the body. And I used them regularly, and I think I got a big dose of dioxin in that region, and that started the, well, I think I already had some sort of problem that I was either born with or through my diet or whatever, had some hormonal imbalance, and then it got worse with the tampons, and it just progressed from there. But I believe I was living with this problem for a very, very long time.
Do you happen to know if you ever got your homocysteine levels tested?
Yeah, I did, and I was fine with homocysteine, and I supplemented with B12.
Because it's very interesting that we often find that vegans do have high homocysteine levels. The problem with that is not so much the B12 as it is linked very often to a methionine deficiency. And the issue with the methionine is that that is one of the main components that your liver needs in order to efficiently detoxify chemicals. So while you may have indeed been overdosing on dioxin intravaginally, there also could have been a problem with your body actually breaking down both estrogens as well as other toxic chemicals due to a methionine deficiency. So I think everybody should be just aware of that and perhaps look into it, or if they are vegan, definitely do supplement with some other kinds of amino acids which are not available in a vegan diet.
Well, I wish that I had spoken with you earlier on.
But who knows? You know, you are doing the best you can. There's always psychological issues. You know, there's internal pressures. Cancer is, unfortunately, you know, there's no way to 100% avoid it. We don't know when it's going to hit. Mm-hmm. But here you are. You're here. And here you are, a survivor, which is really exciting. How did you get through that challenging period?
Yeah, well, as you mentioned before, I have a chemical engineering background, and so I learned in school a number of things. One was how to solve problems. And the other thing was, I'll never forget, one professor told us in class, don't believe anything I'm telling you. You have to prove these things to yourself. And I hear him all the time. Even when I was sitting with doctors and hearing what they had to say, I thought to myself, I'm not going to believe everything they're saying. I have to prove these things to myself. And fortunately, because of the work that I did, I was connected to many doctors and practitioners in the alternative health world, and I talked to a number of them and decided what my path would be. And I did a lot of conventional stuff. I had 3 major surgeries. I went through a mess of chemotherapy. I don't know if I believe in chemotherapy. I don't know if it was part of my healing or not. I just did it.
Well, I want to share something with you there, because I have been doing holistic medicine for many, many years, more than 40 years I have practiced. So therefore, I've been able to interact with literally thousands of patients, and fortunately, many of whom did have cancer, because very often people, instead of you being really proactive, which was excellent, but they wait till the last minute to come to a holistic practitioner.
Yeah.
And then they're trying to, you know, swap up all the mess, which of course it's beyond. But I will say that in my many, many years of practice, although I have heard countless testimonials of all natural only therapies curing people and amazing reversals, I've heard those. I haven't seen them. The people I have seen in the largest proportion that have done the best have actually combined both Western medicine and nutrition and natural medicine. So you probably made the best choice for yourself.
Well, I'm here.
Exactly. That speaks well of your choice.
Well, you know, people like some of us on the Progressive Radio Network, I know we always bash a lot of conventional things going on, and there's a joke that I say a lot of times, you know what you call someone who graduates last in medical school? A doctor. And there are good doctors and there are not so good doctors, and just like any field, or
exactly,
and not. And you have to, even in the most difficult times, if you want to live, find out what the best things are. And I, maybe you understand this, but I worked with someone and came up with some techniques to talk to my body.
Very good. That's excellent.
It was fascinating to me when I went through this process.
Especially being so scientifically oriented, that might have been new territory for you.
Okay, kind of yes and no. Something about science for me is I understand a number of things. One is we know very little, and we have very few senses. We have five senses, and there's a lot more going on around us that we can't even perceive. And there's more information out there connecting the metaphysical world with the physical world now, which is fascinating to me. Mathematical models that are showing us that there are other dimensions that we don't perceive or have access to. It's really fascinating.
Isn't that amazing? It seems like the more we move forward with advanced physics and quantum physics and string theory, et cetera, it really seems like the line that demarcates physical and metaphysical is constantly moving more towards what used to be called metaphysical.
Yeah. Well, I think there's a lot to what people talk about that seems what I term the woo-woo-wah-wah area.
Oh, great term.
But, I don't want to say I'm going to just jump right in and believe all of it, but I think there's a lot. I don't throw anything away. And I happened to serendipitously meet someone who worked with me, and we found he tried a lot of different things, and some things just didn't work for me. But there was this one technique he used where I could talk to my body and relax and get answers. And it was just amazing to me. And that led me to be comfortable with my choices, and it was clear to me that I had to get the visible mass that was inside me out and then work with excellent nutrition and certain nutritional nutraceuticals, things that would really supercharge my immune system so that if there was anything microscopic left over, my immune system would take care of it.
That is a great approach.
There was one other piece, and that was meditation.
Is there a specific kind of meditation you were led towards?
I created my own program, and I know a lot of people are kind of overwhelmed with meditation from what they've heard, and I'm taking a sigh here because people hear so many things, sound bites, and they are overwhelmed and they misunderstand, and some things are so simple. Meditation, you just need to sit and be quiet and breathe. People are concerned that they can't empty their mind. Their mind is full of stuff, and it's okay. You just want to slow it down a little bit. It doesn't have to be totally empty. But
difficult. That's quite a challenge.
Yeah. But just sitting and being quiet to start with is a beginning, and then you improve over time. But
and I have always found the concept of a mantra is excellent, mm-hmm. but it doesn't have to be called a mantra if that feels too religious. Let's say you're a born-again person, and that seems like Eastern mysticism. It's just like you said, really just a word to focus on. You can use the word flower.
Right.
You can use beauty. I mean, it should be something positive, I would say, to you.
That's really important, positive. One of the things that was very important to me in my meditation, so I used repetition thing that I'll talk about in a minute. Then I did visualizations, and then I did affirmations. And I scripted several affirmations, and I made sure that they were positive rather than negative. So I didn't say, I want to rid myself of cancer, for example. I said, I invite wellness in my body. So much better.
Because every time you're putting that word there, it has its own vibratory feel.
Yeah, I believe that. And so I crafted this thing, and I did it for about the whole thing lasted maybe 40 minutes, and I would do it in the morning and in the evening with my partner Gary during my whole treatment period, and we dressed it up. We did the incense and the candles and made it a very special thing. I don't do that anymore. I just
want to invite people to understand something else. That is excellent. And, of course, you are in the midst of making your healing a real focus in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, as we get well, we get busier. And there's nothing wrong. What I do, truthfully, on a daily basis, and never miss this, wherever I have to go, I get there 5 minutes, even just 5 minutes early, shut the car off, shut the cell phone off, and meditate in the car where nobody can bother me for even 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
It's still good.
It is, yeah. I do it in a variety of places in a more compact way, like you're mentioning, and in very intense times, I know that I have it to call on. Say, wait a minute, I need to sit for a while here.
Right, like you have time off or it's a Sunday, and it certainly can still be used in that longer period of time. But I find some people feel so threatened by committing to this big piece of time that they can get started and experience the benefits even in those short mini times.
It really is a treat. And when you're used to it, you look at it that way, like, okay, it's my time. But I just want to get back to, okay, I'm a scientist, and I had data that proved to me at a very critical time that the meditation was working.
Excellent.
And what happened was the first time I went into surgery, I didn't know I had cancer. I thought from everything I was reading on the Internet and talking to people, I thought I had fast-growing uterine fibroids going into menopause. And none of my doctors said anything different. And then I went in for hysterectomy, which I was trying to avoid, but nothing was working. And I found out afterwards I had cancer. And then I went through some chemotherapy. And after the chemo, this little residual that was left over from the first surgery was supposed to go away, and it had actually gotten larger. So that round of chemo didn't work, which was a delightful discovery. And I went back and had more surgery, and the doctor didn't find anything. And he said my scans were giving false positives.
Oh, how horrible.
And that didn't sit well with me either. And I contacted an old friend who was a radiologist and sent him my films. And he said, no, there's no false positive here. The guy just didn't go in the right place. And, or he didn't find it. Anyway, 3 months later, I went, found new doctors, and went in for more surgery and had it removed. But just before, a month before the third surgery, when I had confirmed that this thing was alive and getting bigger, I decided to start the meditation. And I was fortunate at that time with my insurance, I was allowed to go in and get blood tests whenever I wanted. That has since changed, but I went in every week and had a blood test for my cancer marker, and I had been plotting it all along since I had been diagnosed on an Excel spreadsheet because I like collecting data. And it went down in a straight line 30% with meditation. That was my only treatment, and what I've read about these markers is they only go down when you have a treatment that's working.
You know, that is great. Can you tell us more about those markers? Because I think they are truly underused.
Well, they're really wary when they talk about the ovarian cancer marker. It's called CA125 because hormonal imbalances can interact and give lots of false positives. They won't give a false negative. So if the number is low, that's good.
So isn't that a wonderful screening that should be used more often?
Hello. Why did no doctor in my history before being diagnosed ever say, why don't you get one of these tests just for fun? Nobody mentioned it.
So terrible.
And it's so simple. It's inexpensive, painless practically. And, yeah, I wish I...
So do you think people can actually, you know, ask for a cancer marker screening once every 2 to 5 years?
Absolutely. They absolutely should. And if for some reason it's large, to high number, well, then you can go for further testing.
Exactly.
You can check your hormones. You might have a vaginal sonogram if you have a problem, because I had all these external sonograms, and they couldn't see anything with them. Yeah, really. There seems to be more information about ovarian cancer now, but still, I'm sure there's a lot of people that are in the clouds about it.
Wow, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, CA-125.
Well, we're going to take a little break right here, and I do want to tell our listeners that we are visiting today with another very important host right here on Progressive Radio Network, and that is Karen Hartglass. And you're listening to The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. We're going to take a little break right here and bring you The Natural Medicine Chest.
On this edition of The Natural Medicine Chest, we'll discuss the folklore, history, chemistry, and medicinal applications of the common kitchen herb, thyme.
The common culinary spice known botanically as Thymus vulgaris is only one member of a large genera which includes over 400 species and even more varieties. The Thymus genera is originally native to the Mediterranean region and is a perennial plant which grows wild in usually dry, sandy soil, green heaths, and grasslands. Thyme is a prolific, fragrant, creeping ground cover and often displays an attractive spray of flowering branchlets spanning the spectrum from white to violet.
There is considerable debate amongst historians as to the origin of the name thyme. Some believe it to be from the Greek thymen, meaning to fumigate or to burn a sacrifice, because it was used as a sweet-smelling incense and also to keep pests and venomous creatures away from the Greek home. Others believe it came from the Greek thumos, meaning courage or energy, perhaps because it has a reputation of being used by Greek warriors for courage and was bathed in and used as a beverage for invigoration. The Egyptians used an herb called thyme, which we believe is Thymus vulgaris, to mummify their dead. The principal chemical constituents of thyme are the volatile oils consisting of phenol, thymol, and carvacrol. A 1977 article in the scientific journal Chemical Abstracts revealed that thymol's antimicrobial activity is 18 times more powerful than phenol. Phenol is a major antiseptic used in commercial germicidal cleaners like Lysol. Thymol is one of the most potent antimicrobial substances known and far surpasses even the strongest antibiotics. It has been illustrated in the Journal of Chemistry and in the Merck Index of Drugs and Chemicals to destroy parasites, worms, fungi, bacteria, mosquito larvae, and many viruses.
The pharmaceutical and cosmetic industry is privy to the important medicinal effects of oil of Thymus vulgaris. It is ubiquitously found in gargles, cough drops, vapor rubs, and many mouthwashes. Oil of thyme is to be used, albeit very sparingly because of its potency, as a gargle or mouthwash for sore throats and inflamed gums. Because the volatile oil is expelled via the lungs and kidneys, naturopathic physicians use it for upper respiratory infections and urinary tract infections. If you're in the midst of a cold and are lying in bed with too much thyme on your hands, try making a thyme tea made with just a few teaspoons of thyme to a cup of boiling water. It's an excellent diuretic because it causes the body to perspire profusely. Thyme also possesses an excellent carminative and antispasmodic effect, helping in poor digestion, flatulence, and intestinal gripe.
So, listeners, if you're feeling ill, thyme heals all wounds. Remember to reach for that thyme in a bottle the next time you open up the Natural Medicine Chest.
And welcome back once again to The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. And you can always find out what we're doing at naturalnurse.com. That's naturalnurse.com. You can click on schedules to see all of our conferences, lectures. You can click on books to see the many books that myself and Dr. Zamperone have written. You also can look at the educational opportunities under education, because we do teach courses online for certification in natural medicine. In addition, we have Echo Tours for Cures, where we travel. We're taking a group to the island of Jamaica, and we have two trips going in March, and they're both just about 100% filled. I think we may have one or two spaces in each one. And we do have Echo Tours for Cures right in the New York area, where we investigate traditional Chinese medicine. So you can get in touch with us for that. On today's show, we're very happy to have as our guest Karen Hartzell. Karen is a native here in New York, and she has a master's of science degree in chemical engineering from Bucknell University. And she has really devoted her life to helping others. She is the founder of the nonprofit organization Responsible Eating and Living, which the acronym is REAL. That's a great name. And you can find out more about that at responsibleeatingandliving.com. So welcome back to the show, Karen.
Thank you. No, I was just listening.
Tell us about your show.
Can I just mention
that piece of information right here on Progressive Radio Network?
I just wanted to mention something. I was listening to that little bit on the herb thyme, which I loved listening to.
Thank you.
And I lived in the south of France for 4 years, and thyme and a lot of other lovely herbs, well, the herbes de Provence, as we call them, grow naturally all over. And thyme tea is really popular and just lovely, and I just enjoyed hearing about all the wonderful properties that it has.
Thank you. Yes, it is great. So tell us a little bit about your show.
Okay, well, as you mentioned, currently I'm the founder of ResponsibleEatingAndLiving.com, and after going through this romp with cancer, I had really focused a lot of things that I had learned over the decades about diet and nutrition and lifestyle and put my own spin on it and packaged it so that if people are interested in this information for healing purposes or just for general wellness, I am very happy to share it. The website itself is the platform that we've built. It started in the end of 2011, so it's relatively new. And we've put up a lot of recipes and food shows. Of course, all of my Progressive Radio Network programs on It's All About Food are archived up there. And we have some exciting projects planned that have not launched yet.
Oh, boy. We'll look forward to them.
Yeah. Well, I have a varied background, as you mentioned before, and a piece of it has to do with the performing arts. I sang opera and musical theater. I still do. And I want to weave that into the whole health and nutrition part of this nonprofit and create some performance pieces that are fun and educational for people to get the message.
Well, let me ask you this. You were also one of the originators of EarthSave, it looks like. You were very involved with them. And that is John Robbins' organization, correct?
Yeah, I was not an original founder. The organization was founded in 1989, a couple of years after John came out with his groundbreaking bestseller, Diet for New America. And as you probably know, John Robbins is the son of Irv Robbins, who passed a few years ago, but Irv and his brother-in-law founded Baskin and Robbins, the largest ice cream empire out there. And he actually, Irv Robbins, created the franchise concept. And John grew up in this empire, and he didn't want to continue with it, and it caused a lot of family strife, but he ended up going on his own path, and he and his wife went on this journey, and he wrote Diet for New America, and the rest is history.
I love the way John points out that he walked away from the ice cream shaped
swimming pool
in his parents' estate. That's a really good visual.
But I didn't get involved with EarthSave until about 10 years later, and at that time the organization wasn't doing as well because John wasn't directly involved with it anymore, and I got on the board, and then somehow I became the executive director.
Somehow. And that's one of those jobs which is usually no pay and lots of work.
Yeah, I had left a very good situation as a consulting engineer where I made my own schedule and worked when I wanted to and made a very decent living, and then ended up going with EarthSave and making a lot less and working 24 hours a day, it seemed.
Well, it was a passionate move.
Absolutely a passion.
And now, how is REAL different, responsible eating and living?
Right. Well, there's a lot of things that are different, although there's a lot of things that are certainly similar about it. What's similar is the mission to promote the power of plant foods, and which is my passion, and one of my favorite subjects, as I say all the time, is food and how food is connected, our food choices are connected to our own personal health, the health of the planet, and the animals that we share this planet with. But what's different is the approach. I get to put my own spin on this because it's my organization, and I wanted to bring it into the 21st century with more internet information, more videos, food shows, things that are fun, and a real positive spin on the information, making it very mainstream. I just want to say very, very, very positive. There's a lot of terrible things going on in the world.
No doubt.
And it's so easy to feel frustrated, overwhelmed, want to give up, why bother? And I think we all have a choice, and the choice is either to find the good or focus on the bad. And I acknowledge all the things that are going on, and I'm doing what I can do in my life to make things better. I live with a life that I believe in, and to the best of my abilities, don't support what I don't believe in. But I always want to bring out the joy. And if you visit the site Responsible Eating and Living, I hope you get that feeling that it's upbeat and changing your diet to feel better is a good thing. It's not a thing of deprivation. It's a thing where I like to say, you don't know how good you can feel. You don't know. Get those things out of your life, the things that you know aren't good. Start nourishing yourself. Over time, these foods are going to taste better if you don't like them right away. And it's a wonderful, it might be a challenging transition, but I like to say you can ask me questions anytime, and I can help with recipes. And that's what we're doing.
So how do you spread the word about, you know, there's so much science now behind using lots of vegetables?
Yeah, well, what I personally like to do, I like to read the science. I like to go to the original source. You're probably aware of this, but a lot of times we hear sound bites in the media, on television, and in newspapers, and they're out of context and distorted, and people start buzzing about, oh, my God, did you hear about that? And what I do is I go to the original source.
I'll bring up one here that I'm sure you're very familiar with, a rather recent article stating that eating organic
Stanford
food
study.
Yes.
Yep.
So I wrote on my website at naturalnurse.com on the blog a whole story about that, where if you read that article, mm-hmm. it actually was very supportive
Absolutely.
Of organic food. It was supportive about the fact that there were 30% less pesticide residues, which could help you with cancer, for instance.
Yeah.
It was supportive about even the nutrition. It just said they didn't pick up a lot of data showing the nutrition was highly superior, but yet they used that as the headline instead of the positive aspects
of the study. Doesn't that, like, just infuriate you?
Well, is that what you found when you actually read the study itself?
Absolutely. And then the other part of that particular study was it was fun with math, mathematical manipulations. They grouped it was one of these macro studies. They grouped all of the information that they had in categories that they made up themselves and then evaluated those numbers. So if they had done it a little differently, they would have gotten different results. It wasn't pure science. It was manipulated. But I agree with you. They were pointing out that if you don't even think about the nutritional value of the food, there's all these toxic residues from pesticides and herbicides on the industrial food products.
And they did point that out in that study. It was really amazing.
It was, yeah. So I like to do that, and I also like to make things digestible and easy to understand.
Well, another thing about that study, of course, you're the person with the chemical engineering background to point out to our listeners about the manipulation of the data, but an interesting part is also that one of those study authors was specifically hired by the tobacco industry mm-hmm. to manipulate the data when they were saying that cigarettes were not harmful. So he was a real master at that.
Yeah. I was talking yesterday to someone about how I'm not a religious person, and I can't say that I believe in deities and devils, but I really think a lot of people have sold their souls to the devil.
Well, that's probably a good place for us to take a little break. And when we come back, we'll get on to the more angelic side of things, because we do want to let Progressive Radio Network talk about all the fabulous shows that we have here. One of them, of course, is your show and this show, The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z. So let's listen to some promos from Progressive Radio Network.
Can't wait.
And welcome back once again. For more information right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z, we are here today with another host right here on Progressive Radio Network, and her name is Karen Hartglass, and she is the host of two weekly internet radio shows. It's All About Food and also Ask a Vegan, and she is the founder of the not-for-profit organization, Responsible Eating and Living, pseudonym REAL, which is great, R-E-A-L, which delivers easy-to-use factual information and services, providing inspiration to take responsibility to nourish, protect, and support ourselves, our family, and the earth. That's a beautiful intention statement, Karen.
Thank you.
And how do you go about doing that?
Well, in addition to the website, which is our major focus right now because we're really just getting started, I will do speaking engagements for major events or small groups, cancer support groups, or food festivals or health events. And another thing that I like to do is to do an in-home food demo where I can go into someone's home. For example, let's say someone's diagnosed with a health crisis. You want to change your diet. You can invite some friends. I'll do a food demo and then serve you lunch or serve you dinner with the food that we've prepared and talk about everything that we're eating and why it's important. And something like that is really fun for people, and they can learn at the same time and have some support around them. I like to do it in someone's home because they can see how their kitchen will work. I often say to people, find your kitchen. Find it. Get to know it and use it.
You know, that sounds funny, but it isn't, because people eat out, and especially at fast food places, at an astonishing rate. I mean, when I tell people something like when they come in to me for nutritional counsel, I might just say something, well, make a vegetable soup. and they look at me with this blank look.
Yeah.
Like they wouldn't know how to begin. Okay, first, buy a non-aluminum pot. You know, it's just amazing
yeah.
and scary.
Well, the fascinating thing to me, you know, people at all social levels have issues with food. So there's certainly those who are in very difficult economic situations and may not have access or may not have the budget to buy nutritious foods, but for the most part, they don't have the knowledge. And the same thing is true for people that are affluent. They don't have the knowledge. They have the funds, but they're buying the wrong foods. And I've been in a number of homes in Manhattan that have beautiful kitchens and the best of all the houseware supplies that have never been used.
Right, they're just there for show.
Yeah, never been used. And I like to be there in place and show people how to use what they have and why they want to use it. And it's, I have a lot of fun. I think the other people have fun. And there's always a lot of questions that come out. Very often there are the same questions.
Okay, well, let's talk about, let's say, FAQs, frequently asked questions. So that our listeners may have some of those same questions.
Right. Well, as a vegetarian, the most popular questions are, where do you get your protein and where do you get your calcium? And those are good questions. What's fascinating to me is that as humans, we know very little about nutrition. We're learning more and more exponentially every day. But there are some buzzwords out there that people have connected with, and protein and calcium are two of them. There are so many things that are important in our bodies we haven't even discovered yet. We don't have names for them. But protein and calcium are focused on. And if you're eating a diet of fruits and vegetables, whole grains, legumes, raw nuts and seeds, primarily plants, and even if you add a small amount of animal products, the focus is plants because they have all these wonderful phytochemicals and all these great nutrients that boost our immune system. But all plant foods have complete protein. Now, some of them have less or more of the essential amino acids, but they're all there in different proportions. And if you're not eating, if you're not getting your calories from Coke and French fries, and you're eating fruits and vegetables and whole grains and beans and raw nuts and seeds, you don't even have to think about the protein. Now, there may be some individuals that have specific needs and specific issues, but for the most part, it's not an issue. The only time protein is really a serious issue is if you're not eating or not getting enough calories, or maybe you have a particular unique digestive problem. But for the most part, protein isn't an issue. Calcium is another thing. I think it's the way you look at it. For a lot of people, the issue with calcium or bones is they're consuming the foods that are taking the calcium away and not getting the exercise they need to build the bones. Rather than thinking, what pill can I take to make everything better, it's stop drinking the soda, stop drinking the coffee, stop consuming.
Let's talk about soda a little bit,
yeah.
Karen, because soda is really a deadly toxic poison.
Yep.
I mean, I think it should be regulated. Of course, we know that the mayor of New York took some steps to cut the size,
yep.
But unfortunately he didn't speak about the diet sodas at all.
Right.
But there's a reason that he even brought that up, because the more you look at sodas, the more deadly it looks on so many levels, including what you're bringing up that people may not think about, the fact that it leaches minerals from your bones.
Right. Well, it's I look at it from a chemical point of view, so it's highly acidic, and the body can't handle consuming a substance that's that acidic. It really wreaks havoc, and the body is always working to maintain a certain pH balance. And when you're consuming soda, you're just drawing from your body anything that's alkaline to create a neutral balance. It's not a good thing. Soda. Well, pour it on your car, right? It takes the finish off.
Well, I'll tell you what I did for my children, who are now, by the way, 37 and 35, okay? So, and they have never been vaccinated, and they never had an antibiotic.
Wow.
Because I've always been leading a holistic lifestyle. And at the time they were living, I had an actual farm, and I raised all my own food from scratch when they were little. So they've been on this trip a very, very long time. So one of the things I did when they started saying, oh, I want some soda because all their friends had it, was I got sparkling water, poured it in a cup, and added organic cherry juice. Voila, soda, without any of the toxic effects.
And that can be great, especially on a hot summer day, very refreshing.
So there's ways around it, is what I'm saying. When people tell me my children won't eat that, they won't eat vegetables, I'll say, they will. You just tell them this is what you have to eat. I mean, parents, I think, should be in charge of the diets in the home.
Well, I don't have children, so I have my opinions about what parents should do, but I can't really say them because I have not gone through the experience. But I believe that we should present boundaries, and I think this is true for children and for adults. If you want to be healthy, don't have junk in the home. Just don't have it. Have only good, healthy, nutritious foods. Set the example. And, you know, if you want to have a treat or something, fine. Go out and have it or bring it in, but it's a treat that is not consumed on a regular basis.
That's a very good idea.
And the whole family kind of has to do it together, because if somebody's doing it and you're not, it makes it that much more difficult. Yeah.
So how would somebody start if they wanted to move into a healthier diet?
Well, you know, it really depends on the individual. It depends on their work schedule. It depends on their lifestyle. It depends on who is in their family and what they can handle. From my point of view, I think it's best to just jump in and do as much as you can. But sometimes that's not possible for some.
But one thing is that you offer that service to people in the New York area, that you can actually come to their home and redesign it.
Right. I have gone into people's kitchens and just cleaned them out and restocked them. It really depends on what you're open to and what you want to do. But sometimes just eliminating something or adding in something, keeping it simple so that you're not freaking out, just say, okay, I'm going to add dark leafy green vegetables into my diet, and every day I'm going to have a dark leafy green vegetable, either in a salad or juiced or in a blended salad or steamed, and you can slowly include more healthy foods in your diet, and just naturally as a result, they'll replace some other things.
Really depends. And that's one of the issues I tell people to focus on. Have it available. That's what's in your refrigerator. And I make for myself grab-and-go bags. So when I have to run out, which is constantly, I just open the refrigerator, grab a healthy snack, which is already in a container, and take it with me.
People tell me they're at work, and they get hungry, and they grab something that isn't good for them. It's just amusing because there are so many fruits out there, apples, pears, bananas, even papaya. They come in their own natural packaging. You don't have to do anything with them, but you can bring a bag of something to the office and just have it there when you're hungry, or keep it in the car or wherever. But the idea is you need to have a little organization. You need to have a little pre-planning so when the issue comes up, you're prepared. I like to make big soups. I can scoop them out and put them in smaller containers, put them in the refrigerator or the freezer, and then they're ready to go. The grab-and-go concept is the way to go.
It also really saves a lot of money. Like you mentioned, some people have a difficult concept with that it's too expensive to eat healthy. I don't think so.
I don't either.
If you make a meal of steamed vegetables and organic millet, you're talking about feeding everybody for 40 cents.
It's cheap.
Exactly.
It is really, yeah. whole grains, beans, and vegetables, they're not expensive. Yep.
Well, tell us again, because we're actually, boy, the time has flown. We're going to be ending pretty soon. So do tell people how they can get in touch with you and, you know, where your show airs and how they can find it on the archives and that kind of thing.
Sure. My email address, info@realmeals.org. info@realmeals.org. The website, it's responsibleeatingandliving.com. It's a big mouthful. Masticate carefully, chew carefully. responsibleeatingandliving.com, all one word, no spaces. That's the website. And I respond to all comments and questions. And that's
great.
The way to find me.
Yeah, and
on my show,
your show
Tuesdays from 4 to 5 p.m. I have one coming up this afternoon.
Oh, there you go. In fact, I was a guest on your show once. That
yeah, and I have another PRN host coming on later today, Bhavani.
Oh, Bhavani. Well, I'm the one who got Bhavani to be a host on PRN, so it's just like one big happy family.
Well, you know, I'm really glad that we're doing this because I'm taking the time to find out what's going on at Progressive Radio Network, and there's a lot of wonderful things going on.
Absolutely. It's the best place. And one of the things I like the most is the archives, because the archives make it so easy. If people can't catch one of our shows at the time that it airs, then you can just go to archives, look up your favorite show, and download it onto those things that I still don't understand. Those are things that you take everywhere with you.
Yes.
I think they're even beyond that now, because I get calls from people saying, oh, I listen to you in my radio, in my car radio. And I go, how'd you do that? And apparently they know all these things.
Right. I love that. I've heard, you know, people tell me they take me on their runs, and because they have their smartphone that they can walk or run with and listen to it. I hear from people all over the world, and that's something that really, really thrills me, just to know we can all connect in this great way, making the world a better place.
Well, thank you so much for being our guest today, right here on The Natural Nurse and Dr. Z on Progressive Radio Network. And you can find all of our shows right here. Go to the archives and educate yourself. Take steps towards creating the best health that you can. Have your mind on top of all the knowledge that's available. And we really love you to join us every week. We're here on Progressive Radio Network. Again, you can check out our books. Dr. Z and I have written a book called The Natural Medicine Chest, which you hear in the audio versions of right here on Progressive Radio Network. We also have Arthritis, the Alternative Medicine Definitive Guide, Cycles of Life, Herbs for Women, which I do talk about getting rid of fibroids and other issues in women's health care. We have one called The Natural Guide to Great Sex, How to Actually Get Your Love Life Going Naturally. And until next time, this is Ellen Kamai, the Natural Nurse at naturalnurse.com, hoping that you stay healthy.